Welcome back to another episode of the I Teach Podcast. I'm your host, Ronald Catlin, and on the I Teach Podcast, we delve into educational topics like personalized learning, instructional coaching, the maker movement, and where we get a chance to meet the incredible teachers, administrators, coaches, and students that are out there doing the work every day. In today's episode, I am joined by the amazing and resourceful Anna Bilyeu. Anna is also an educational technology specialist for KSU iTeach. So today, we're going to be talking about how teachers can support other teachers by collaborating and sharing and creating resources. It's important to share because it promotes reflection and learning and makes you a better teacher. So this topic is interesting because as we continue our days of distance learning, it's important that we talk about the benefits of teaching, of teachers collaborating and sharing resources with each other. Teacher collaboration occurs when members of a learning community work together to increase student learning and achievement. If our ultimate destination as educators is student achievement, think of teacher collaboration as the journey. Collaboration is not a task to complete, then move on. It's an ever-changing, ongoing process that is only enhanced by social networks and access to new technology. So with that being said, I want to welcome you guys to Anna. Anna, welcome to the show.
Hey, Ronald. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. This is my my debut on a podcast. So
Yes. I'm glad that I can be the first, you know, host to actually have you on a podcast. I feel so special.
I'm just going to blow up from here, right?
This is it. This is your Hollywood 5 minutes, you know, walk of fame. So
I'm about to be discovered. I know it.
So with every guest that I have on the show, I like to start off with an icebreaker. So your icebreaker is going to be a series of questions of would you rather. Okay. Have you played that game before?
I sure have.
Okay, great, great. So we're going to play the teacher edition of Would You Rather. So I have a set of questions for you, and you know, you just pick which one that you would rather prefer. All right?
Sounds good.
So number one, would you rather monitor standardized tests or grade a set of essays?
Grade a set of essays, because I can stop out instead of walking for 3 hours.
Yes, yeah, so being on your feet all day is kind of...
It's taxing.
All right, next question. Would you rather increase class size and get a raise or decrease class size and take a pay cut?
Oh, man. I think decrease class size, I guess. I mean, that's a tough one because, you know, I think teachers should make like $1 million a year, along with, I think, half the country thinks that now after homeschooling for a few days. Right. but I think that there is so much value in the relationships that we can build with our students when we have small class sizes. So I guess I'd have to go that direction.
So you'll take the small class size and take a pay cut.
I'd do it.
See, you're a great person. All right. So next question, would you rather have someone always available to take over your class so you can use the restroom whenever you want? Or have someone available to do your grading and paperwork for you?
Grading and paperwork, for sure. Is that the restroom one? I mean, after a few years of teaching, you like basically develop the teacher bladder. You never even need to go during the school day. So, you know, grading and paperwork, for sure.
Oh, that could save you a bunch of time.
Yes.
All right, so the last one is, would you rather get more time off in December and January for winter break and less time in the summer, or skip winter break and spring break and have a longer summer break?
I think, I don't know if this was lines up with one of the choices, but I think more shorter breaks. Was that one of your choices?
So it was either more time off in December, January for your winter break and less of a summer, or you skip the winter break and just have a long summer.
Okay. I say more time off for winter break. It's nice to have that time halfway through the year to, you know, rejuvenate, refresh, figure things out if anything needs to tweak in the classroom. I think it's good for the students too to have a little break from everything in the classroom mid-year, and then we come back refreshed and ready to learn.
Okay, so you would just probably prefer, if you took that choice, then you would probably be good with just 1 month of summer off.
Yeah, after that point, it's like, you know, you can only sit by the pool for so many days, right, Ronald?
Yeah. So we're going to start jumping into today's topic, which is talking about creating a culture of resource sharing. So I want to ask you, why do you think teachers should, or us even, share resources? And what do you think are some of the benefits of collaboration and resource sharing?
Yeah, there's a phrase that I hear a lot that teachers talk about in connection to this idea of sharing resources. And everybody's always saying, don't reinvent the wheel. And I understand what they mean behind this, but I don't think this is necessarily what we should be saying, because honestly, as teachers, we're constantly reinventing the wheel. That's what we do best. Every day when our students leave our classroom, we're reflecting, thinking about what's working, what's not working, who needs more support, how do we need to do things differently? And then the next day, that's exactly what we do. We do things a little bit differently based on what we've learned. And I think that because we are constantly reinventing the wheel, that's exactly why we need to share resources. We need to more embrace that idea of working smarter, not harder. Of course, when we're collaborating and sharing resources, there's that obvious benefit that we're saving time. But even more than that, I think when we're sharing, what's best about it is that we can achieve that goal we all have of building a student-centered classroom. We're making learning more effective for our students because we have all these, this wealth of resources that we can use to meet their specific needs. We all know that in a lot of our classrooms have very limited resources in that physical classroom space. So when we're sharing resources, it just helps us move beyond the textbooks that we might have, the workbooks. We can use videos and photos and primary sources, interactive online tools, hands-on activities. And through these powerful tools, we can curate and collect all of that by sharing with other educators, and our students are really the ones who benefit from that. Another thing that I think we might not even think about, but when we collaborate and share, we're really modeling some important practices for our students. We hear all the time about the 4 C's and how important they are, and we need to integrate these skills into our classroom. But really, one of the best ways we can help students recognize how important collaboration is to show them that working with others, collaborating and sharing ideas, that that's such an integral part of what we are doing every day in our work as professionals.
Yeah, I agree. You made some great points. And it's funny because I was just talking about working smarter and not harder. And I think in addition to that, as educators, we have a role to share the responsibilities for our students' learning. And I feel like the more people invested in the student's education, the better the chance that the student has to be successful. So I think that all of us, you know, come at our subject with expertise in different areas, and there is so much to learn from the wealth of knowledge in our department. But it's also not only the experienced colleagues, you know, who should be encouraged to share. I think also a lot of new and, you know, recently qualified teachers should have, you know, great insights, and certainly they can bring like fresh ideas, you know, to the classroom. I think one benefit of collaboration and resource sharing is that, you know, it fosters more creative lesson plans. When teachers are able to communicate and share ideas, you know, they're also able to share a big collection of instructional strategies that encourage creative instruction. Mm-hmm. And as a result, you know, teachers, they may be influenced to try different approaches or even have opportunities to help another teacher with a new approach.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, I've felt those benefits in my own practice as a teacher. I love what you said about making sure that in our collaborations, we're validating and valuing the voice of all teachers. I think definitely agree with you that new teachers to the field, I think they bring so much energy and enthusiasm and creativity in what they can bring. And maybe they don't have that the years of hands-on classroom experience that a lot of more experienced educators might have, but there's definitely a lot that we can learn from each other. I think that's the first step in being able to share resources and learn from each other, is just recognizing that we're all still learning, which as teachers, that's, you know, that's the life we live is, you know, we're always learning, and that's what we want our students to become, lifelong learners.
Right. Yep. I agree. So I think we can next move the topic to talking about the connection between sharing resources and collaboration and implementing personalized learning.
Yeah, absolutely. At iTeach, we are so focused on personalized learning. We love it. Every day we're working with teachers, we're in classrooms, working with students, and we're trying to move education toward a model that really values learner differences. And we want to help teachers use technology to co-plan individualized learning experiences for their students, which a lot goes into that. There's so much that goes into that vision for personalized learning. We're talking about things like individual learning paths, flexible content, authentic assessments. It can feel really overwhelming, and it can definitely be time consuming. So I think that's a big reason why sharing resources is so important. When we're sharing resources and we're collaborating together, we can divide that instructional design piece of what we're doing in our classrooms. We can share that responsibility between more people. So it helps us work more efficiently and free up our time so that we as teachers then can co-plan with students, guide them on their learning paths and facilitate meaningful learning, rather than just spending all our time designing those instructional experiences.
Right. I agree. And just to piggyback about what you were talking about, like individual learning paths, I think technology also plays a huge part in encouraging the collaboration and implementing personalized learning. Like when you said about the learning path, I think, you know, teachers have to have an increased understanding of student data to even have, you know, what path the students are going to go on. So I feel like with technology, the teachers are going to become better equipped to deconstruct relevant data and implement effective solutions from both formative and summative assessments. And with that, they'll have a sense of shared responsibility for celebrating success and analyzing failure. And with that shared data, teachers can now collaborate with each other online across classrooms and disciplines to gain a more holistic understanding of an individual student's performance.
Yeah, absolutely. We're just seeing when we're working for these personalized learning environments, that collaboration is so important in so many different ways for us to create these environments that we envision.
Right. But yeah, definitely saves a lot of time. So as teachers are looking at resources and, you know, everybody's online and searching, how do you evaluate the quality of resources that you find online?
That's a really good question and really important. There's a lot to consider there. A few things that I try to keep in mind, first and foremost, is thinking about the students. As a teacher, you know them as learners, you know their background knowledge, what they need next, what works best for them based on what's happened in your classroom before. So the first thing we want to do is always make sure that those resources we're finding online align with what your students and their needs. Just because it worked great for one teacher who's sharing out this resource doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to work great for your students as is. So as teachers, that's where our professional knowledge comes into play. We may take a great idea and remix it a little bit and make it work for our students. Another thing to consider is the context. So just thinking about the standards that you're addressing at the moment, tools that are available in the classroom. If we're working, you know, kind of what level we're at, what phase of learning we're at, are we building understanding, practicing a new skill, trying to apply learning in new situations, thinking what we are learning about and what we want students to be doing, and then just making sure that the resource fits well with what's currently going on in the classroom. Another thing, just to kind of side note, just to think about, is that we also want to make sure that as we're looking at resources that other teachers have shared, we want to do a quick copyright check and just make sure that what's being shared has permission to be shared, and that it's not violating any copyright laws or, you know, anything that we need to be aware of there, because we always want to make sure that we're modeling those digital citizenship skills for our students. And unfortunately, I do think that there is a lot out there of sharing of things that maybe we shouldn't necessarily, we don't have permission to be sharing.
Yeah, I agree. I think we do have to do a better job of educating ourselves on those copyright laws. to making sure that we are respecting people's work.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah. So that's good. So background knowledge and considering the context and copyright laws. I was thinking that, I was looking up some stuff and I seen that research suggests that the majority of research resources shared online, particularly on Pinterest and Teachers for Your Teachers, focus on low-level learning tasks and do not promote the deep learning and critical thinking that our school system aspires to. And the research also said that this is particularly concerning because that research has determined that the quality of curriculum materials and resources used by teachers has a substantial impact on student learning. So I think it's important that teachers' materials and activities draw on, like you said, what your students already know, because not only does this build confidence, but when a task is related to your students' experiences and current circumstances, it becomes culturally relevant mm-hmm. and your students will be more engaged.
Yeah.
And I think with that, your students will gain more confidence and they can move on to problem solving, discovering and analyzing a language, you know, they are learning. And while simple and straightforward activities are necessary at times, in the beginning stages, you know, activities that require students to come up with creative solutions or interact in a new way are incredibly engaging and effective.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about that rigor, I think, is criteria to think about when you're evaluating resources, because there's no shortage of worksheets. I can go anywhere. I can open a workbook in my classroom and I can have worksheets to give my students. But really thinking about what those resources I'm looking at, what are they asking the students to do? And is it going to be challenging to them? And really giving them experiences and thinking through processes and, you know, that higher order thinking that they're not going to get from a worksheet. It's a good point.
Yeah. So as you are talking about the quality of the resources when we're looking at it, what are some of your go-to places for resources?
Oh, there's so many, but
yes.
My favorites. I just love when educators are willing to share resources free of charge for the sole purpose of learning, collaborating, and just supporting teachers and students everywhere. I know that, you know, it's such a hard topic when you think about it, because as teachers, we're using so much of our valuable time creating these resources. It's just so generous, I think, when teachers are willing to share their hard work with others. So some of my favorite, my go-to people that I see sharing freely, I love HyperDocs. That's my thing in the classroom that I really love to use and to help teachers learn about, and how we can use HyperDocs to guide students through inquiry-based learning. So I've been amazed with all the resources the HyperDoc girls, is what they call themselves, share on their website. They share
I think I met them in person before.
Oh my gosh, you met celebrities.
I'm not sure, but I think I have. I just remember like that name popping out for some reason just now.
Yes. Well, I just can't believe you didn't get their autograph for me if you met them. They are very generous in sharing. They've got lessons. What I think is so cool is they actually set up a Teachers Give Teachers network. So teachers can kind of lessen their workload by collaborating and sharing with others within this network. You upload a lesson and then you, by doing that, you get to also enjoy the wealth of resources that are there. I also, Matt Miller from Ditch That Textbook and Eric Kurtz from Control-Alt-Achieve. They're really active social media, and they have some great websites, but they are wildly generous in sharing the resources that they create. And like we were talking about before with rigor, that's, you know, they're a lot of their resources, it's asking kids to create. It's kind of just giving a framework, giving ideas, and then kids are creating with these templates or things that they've created. And you can get all that for free on their websites, which I just love. And then, of course, there's just Twitter. I like to follow accounts of some of my go-to tech tools, things that I find myself using or are available in the districts where I'm working. And those accounts will often tweet or retweet some of the best ideas for those resources that are and how that's being used in the classroom. So those are some, you know, it's like a rabbit hole that you could go down just looking for ideas now with the way that the internet has made things available to us. It's really mm-hmm. important, I think, to curate where we're looking to make sure that we're not spending, you know, hours looking for things, and we're quality when we're looking.
Quality is definitely important. I really don't have like specific go-to places. I really like Twitter, of course. I like to do a lot of researching articles, mm-hmm. like through Google. Because I'm in the podcasting world, I do like to listen to a lot of podcasts. Even just face-to-face teachers with just talking about, like talking with veteran teachers and seeing some of the things that they have done. Following other educational technology specialists on like Twitter or looking at their websites. I just like to kind of get my resources from like a plethora of like different outlets. And I guess it's because I'm like a human sponge and I like to soak up the information and learn new things. So I kind of like appreciate all of the information that I'm exposed to, because I feel like I may come into contact with someone that may be able to use it one day, even if I can't use it in that moment. So I guess I need to get like my list of favorites, but for right now, I'm just kind of like, oh, this is cool. Like everything is kind of like interesting, because it's like, you never know at what part an educator may be at. Yeah. So even something small that may not be like, you know, big could push an educator to another step to eventually get somewhere else. Yeah. I guess I need to,
for future reference, just.
Yeah.
A Rolodex in your mind.
But I'm going to work on building my list of favorites that I can have in my pocket.
A whole nother podcast is when you have, like you said, there's just so many places to get information from. So how do you organize it? And I don't know, just keep track of all this wealth of information that we have as teachers at our fingertips. So that's a whole nother question for another day.
So a lot of stuff been going on lately with the remote learning. How do you feel about the sharing of resources and preparation for remote learning?
I've been so inspired seeing all the sharing that's been going on the past week or so. I mean, even beyond that, but really ramped up in the last week or so here in the U.S. With this pandemic craziness. Teachers are basically being asked all over the country to prepare for remote learning with an incredibly quick turnaround time. Some people walked into school one day, not even realizing that that would be their last day face-to-face with their students until when. So a few weeks ago, one really amazing example of this that I've seen is a few weeks ago, this Facebook group called Educator Temporary School Closure for Online Learning was started. One of my coworkers at iTeach sent this to me and I joined the group. And I've been amazed at what I see going on there. It's, you know, started as this small group. And now within a couple of weeks, there's over 93,000 educators. That's right now. It's probably even more by tomorrow. It's growing every day. And they're all in there sharing ideas and resources, sharing links to lessons they've created, best practices. Here's what I wish I knew 3 weeks ago. All this great insight. There's 30 something breakout groups that have spiraled from this, just to focus on specific age levels or content areas and really giving those teachers a space to share what's most relevant to them. So there's just so much sharing going on and so much support. It's really encouraging. And I think is really a picture of what we can achieve as teachers and what we can achieve for our students if we work together and share.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely a lot going on. Even like a lot of tech companies like Microsoft and Nearpod are providing like manuals and guides, you know, to make the transition easier for teachers and students. And I think there's even that spreadsheet of like different programs and apps and tech tools that are offering free memberships to support the learning. That's even going around. So I just really like how everyone is just jumping in and getting involved to keep the learning going. So I think the educational department and different tech companies are doing a great job with supporting even the schools with having the device deployment in certain areas for kids to have access to devices. I think it's all just a great big picture that is coming into.
Yeah, we can learn from what's working well in other areas, but the only way we're going to do that is if we share what's working well. So I think that's, I'm just really encouraged to see that people are sharing, here's what's working for us. Here's some best practices that we see. And you know that you can always come to us at KSU iTeach. We are happy to support and share as well. Mm-hmm. So we're glad to be part of it all.
And I'm just also glad to like see some of those reluctant teachers that are also like stepping into the digital world with doing like video chats and using the Microsoft Teams. I think that's pretty exciting and cool to see them jumping into a new environment.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see fast forward however long we're, you know, in this, mm-hmm. fast forward to the end and see how has education changed? Have teachers changed? Are we, I don't know, are we embracing some of these strategies more even in our regular everyday life?
Right. I hope so. Yeah, hopefully it doesn't just change into a moment thing and then we're back to the, mm-hmm. yeah, hopefully we can mix it up. We'll see. So do you have any inspirational stories or personal experience about yourself of collaboration and resource sharing?
Yeah, I mean, there's a million, but so much good comes from collaboration sharing. I can't tell you how many times I've been inspired by the resources or the ideas that are shared by another teacher. Sometimes just seeing what they've done or hearing about their ideas, it's that nudge that I needed to try a new approach or strategy mm-hmm. in my own practice. I think you said this earlier too, but sharing resources, it just boosts my creativity. It sometimes gets those creative juices flowing. Mm-hmm. Tweak those ideas into something that works for me and for the teachers and students that I'm working with. One example, I was talking earlier about how I love HyperDocs. And honestly, I can credit that entirely to my coworker, the amazing Marcus Borders, who I'm sure maybe at some point will be on the show himself.
Yes,
too.
He will.
in working with him, there's your nudge, Marcus. we need to hear your awesomeness on the podcast. Who I often saw him sharing these HyperDoc lessons that he made. And I saw the way that he was creating these lessons where kids were exploring high quality resources. They were thinking critically about what they heard and what they read. And then they were using creative methods to demonstrate their learning. And it was just packaged so beautifully in this HyperDoc. And I knew that I had to try it out. And that all came from him just sharing, here's what I'm doing. If anybody wants to use this, here's this resource that has to do with cells or whatever it is. And I just have so many stories like that, learning from what other teachers are doing and what they're sharing. So it just reminds me time and time again that the great ideas we have, they become even better when we share them with others.
Right. So shout out to Marcus. He does create great work. I look at his stuff and always become inspired to like do more and be able to like just take a risk and create different things. So shout out to you, Marcus. Hopefully, you know, we can get you on the show one day on the podcast. So hopefully he's listening and this is his nudge to, you know, contact me.
Yeah, hopefully he's mad at me for the shout out after this.
But yeah, so some of my stories also has come from just like face-to-face sharing. I've come in contact with a lot of great educators that just had just me with relationship building. They just had that energy about them that they were so willing to share, especially as a new teacher when I first started teaching. I would just, you know, just talking to them and they would just say, hey, we tried this with the kids or we did this. And just like doing all those different things has just inspired me to just have that kind of attitude when it comes to sharing with teachers. So anywhere I'm at or any school that I'm working in and teachers need something, I'm always just willing to share because I just want to be that person for as far as how the people were to me. So I just want to keep that ball going and just continue to just share resources as much as I can, because at the end of the day, it's not for me. Like, it's not, I can have the biggest teacher resource bank in the world in my Google Drive. But if I'm not sharing it with anybody, then it's kind of like, you know, what's the use? So I just continue to share. And I just thank the people that I've come in contact with in education that made it okay to talk about different ideas and didn't make it seem like a competition or, you know, wasn't selfish about it.
Yes, I love that. It's not a competition. We're all in it together.
Yeah, we're all in this together. So I want to thank you, Anna, for coming on the show. Did you enjoy the show?
I did. This was fun.
This was fun. You enjoyed it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. This was a lot of fun. I'm gonna try to be your co-host here from.
Yes, you're always welcome back on the show. For the people that was listening and this is your first time listening to Anna, can you tell them where to follow you on Twitter? Where can the people reach you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter. It's Anna_BillU. That's Anna with two N's and BillU is spelled BILYEU.
All right. So there you have it, guys. That is Anna BillU. And Anna is also over our iTeach blog. Anna, you want to tell them more about your iTeach blog?
Yes, please definitely come check out our iTeach blog. We write our blog in a Hey Coach format. So our iTeach coaches kind of channel our inner Dear Abby. And we answer your questions about personalized learning, technology integration, educational best practices. Whatever you ask, we answer. So you can find our blog at ksuiteach.blogspot.com. And if you have a question for us, you can use the hashtag Hey, I Teach Coach on Twitter and submit your questions, and we would love to answer those for you.
All right, guys. So you heard it. So remember, you can find the blog at ksuiteach.blogspot.com and use the hashtag Hey, I Teach Coach on Twitter. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest at ksuiteach for all your updates. On our next episode, we're going to be talking about teacher self-care. So thank you again, Anna, for coming to the show. And until next time, peace and love. The iTeach podcast is brought to you by the Instructional Technology Coaches from iTeach at Kennesaw State University with the cooperation of the Instructional Technology Department and the Bagwell College of Education. You can reach out to us for more information, questions, or comments at our website, iteach.kennesaw.edu, or on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at KSU iTeach.